The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show. You'd have to enjoy the show after listening to that long disclosure. Welcome to the big show, Your Money with David Hayes. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We're going to have a good one today. You know, it's back to school time, so I asked Wayne Thacker to come in studio and talk about, you know, the public retirement system. And so if you work for the county, you work for the school systems, you work for the state, for some of you out there, you have no idea what you actually have, what it's supposed to do, and how you put it all together. So we're going to have Wayne and maybe even Ryan Belcher stick his head in to talk about that for a couple segments. And then later on, we're going to talk Social Security. You know, we haven't talked specifically about Social Security here on the show for quite some time, but we want to talk about some of the claiming strategies to maximize Social Security that are still available for a certain group of people, and then some of the opportunities there is to maximize benefits for all the rest of us. So we're going to get to that in just a few minutes. Let's do a little news of the week. This week brought to you by the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame. Of course, it's supported by Comprehensive Financial Consultants. To learn more about the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame, go to mcshop.com. mcshop.com, or you can just Google Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame, and it pops up that way. I always wonder why we all give our web addresses like that when it can be somewhat difficult to remember. That's why our web address, cfci.us, pretty simple, hopefully pretty straightforward. Check out our new website if you haven't. Go there to check out the events, workshops that we have coming up, all kinds of fantastic stuff. All right, let's do a little news of the week here. This comes from By the Numbers. You know, the longest bull market for the S&P 500 since 1950 lasted 3,452 calendar days. That's the 9.5 years from October of 1990 through March of 2000 when the tech bubble burst. The current bull market for the S&P is 3,077 calendar days long as of Friday, August 11th, 2017. So the approximately 8.5 years from March 9th of 2009 to last Friday, the current bull market would have to last until next August, 1 year from now, to reach that milestone of 3,453 calendar days. That's why people seem to be a little anxious. Did you see this? 63% of Americans surveyed in April of 2017 believe that upper income taxpayers pay too little in federal income tax. Well, let's look at the stats. The top 1% of taxpayers, that's 1.4 million returns, paid $543 billion in federal income tax. The 95% of taxpayers, that means basically the bottom 95%, which means, you know, that's still a lot of people, and that's actually 132.6 million returns. They paid $550 billion in federal income tax. So to me, folks, from the Gallup poll, Internal Revenue Service seems somewhat fair to me. 91-year-old Alan Greenspan warned on a couple Fridays ago that the bond market, boosted by low interest rates for the past 3.5 decades, or 3+ decades, would eventually suffer from rising rates. Greenspan gave no time frame for his forecast, but did predict that when they do start, it's going to be rather rapid. Of course, Greenspan ran the Fed for 18.5 years through January 31st of 2006, the second longest stretch by any Fed chair in its 104-year history. Retailers came out this week, last week posted some pretty decent earnings reports, but halfway through calendar year 2017, 5,300 retail stores have closed. That's equal to more than 200 per week. That comes from Credit Suisse. You know, when you think about it, I ordered my wife's her perfume for her birthday on Amazon because I was just too lazy to get into the car, or didn't really have the time either, to drive over to Macy's and look for that Madame Moselle cocoa, whatever it was. I just know it cost $183, folks, which was a little bit of a shocker, just so you know. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Wayne Thacker. We're back to school. We're going to talk about the state employees, how their benefits work, when you can retire, and how you put it all together. We'll be back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It is back to school time. And you may know this, you may not know this, but us at Comprehensive Financial have been the financial advisors for Monroe County Schools for about 8 years. We have been the advisors of Monroe County Government, Franklin Schools, lots of different school systems, lots of different county governments, all of which are state employees. So when you think about the number of people that work for the county, the school systems, for the state in general, it's a lot of them. So for us to dedicate a segment or two to those folks, I did not think it's an overkill. And you might know somebody that is in that system that might need a little bit of help, and they can always reach out to us for that help. Contact us at cfci.us. Wayne Thacker, you're now here in the studio with me. And yeah, you've been working with these folks that work for the state for a very long time. And it's not uncommon that they don't know exactly what they have or certainly what it's going to provide for them whenever the time comes.
No, absolutely not. Actually, you know, just today was meeting with a retired principal, and she did not realize that she had all of these different benefits. So she was pleasantly surprised, but also felt a little bit maybe embarrassed. And I told her right there, don't feel embarrassed. It would actually be odd if somebody walked into our office and knew all of their benefits. That would be a shock to me.
Now, you have an opportunity not just to stand back and say, hey, we're here if you need us, but you guys are boots on the ground. You're seeing these people face-to-face. School's back in session. You'll be making some rounds pretty soon.
Yeah.
Gives a teacher, an administrator, a staff person the opportunity to walk in, sit down, and talk with you. And really, it's just to get a good gut check of our here and now. Are we doing the right things? Are we putting it at the right places? Are we putting the right percentages in? And then if you see where maybe you need to go a little bit deeper with that person, maybe it's a little more complex. Maybe they have some hinge moments in their life. Maybe retirement's coming, possibly taking care of an aging relative like a parent or grandparent. Maybe they have kids that they want to prepare to send to school at some point, college. That's when you say, okay, there's a little more to this than this 5 or 10 minute meeting. So let's set up a follow-up in our office. And that's what they pay us for.
Absolutely. Can we get real here on Your Money with David Hayes?
I love it.
No one wants to call a 1-800 number and talk to somebody about their allocations that they don't know anything about and really aren't going to know even after they talk to that person. They're certainly not going to ask that person over the phone when they should take Social Security. What about their wife? What about their long-term care needs? That, I think, is where we are very proactive. We're right there. We're in the face of that 30-year-old that just had their first child and wants to know about life insurance, wants to know, you know, how are we set up okay? They just want somebody to actually look at them, somebody they can meet, shake their hand, say, yes, you're set up okay, or here's the path I would take. Here's some things that you should be thinking about. Maybe right. Set a reminder on your calendar each year to auto-increase your contributions.
Right.
Yeah. Here's what you should ask the employer about when it comes to benefits. Here's what you should talk to your mom about her long-term care question. And they can look at you, see you, know that you're a real person, know that you have kids right here in the community going to school. And you're using the Monroe County government, you know, facilities, parks, all mm-hmm. those things too. So I think that's really something we've done a great job
of. And you say, and I'll be back. And if you need me, give me a call.
That's
we'll help you out. It's a tremendous service. And one of the things that I'll tell people that when you pay someone, and these people pay us, I mean, it's not free, it's not a lot, but when you spread it out amongst 2,600 people, you know, it's okay. Then we can give you advice. When you call an 800 number to ask for advice, guess what? They can't give you advice. They can give you information for which you then need to make the decision on your own. And Wayne, I think that's probably the big one you hit on right there. You can sit down and actually give people some advice. Now, when we talk about our mission statement at our office, it's to inspire the people we touch to do the right things for themselves, their families, and their businesses. We'll do that through education and communication. But when I always go back to the word inspire, it's not we're going to do it for you, we're going to give it to you. It's we're going to help inspire you. And I think, Wayne, that's critical because you can't do it for them, but you can certainly show up and help them, encourage them, and give them a little inspiration to do the right thing.
Right. And it's great when you walk out of a meeting with someone and they are inspired to contact the employer, raise contributions by $10, $15, $100 a pay, or you know, go ahead and take the next step towards that life insurance purchase, or
the 529,
the 529s for the kids. It inspires us to inspire them.
Right. I love it. I think it's been a great relationship, and we're going to expand that. I mean, we've been working with RBB some, Brown County. I mean, it's really just a capacity issue, but I think we have that under control at this point, and continue to bring this service to a very underserved community.
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
No one's out there beating the doors down of these state employees to try to help them, because, you know, I mean, let's face it, whether you are a private banker, whether you are a financial advisor, whether you're anything, you want to go where the money is, right? So they have this perception that these people have no money, so I'm not going to be beating their door. They're not doctors, lawyers, other people that they perceive have all this money. They're ordinary rank and file people, regular, ordinary people. But they need help too. And guess what, folks? If you do it right, you're going to have more money than those people that are perceived to have money.
That's right.
Trust us on that one.
Such a good feeling.
Wayne, you've been a good advocate for those people. We're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, I want to talk in specifics about how the benefits work. If you do work for the state, when are you eligible for benefits? How do we coordinate that with things like Social Security, maybe your spouse's benefits? We've got a lot to talk about and more. This is Your Money with David Hayes. You remember in last week's show when I was talking about the unfunded liabilities of American pension funds? Well, I found this from By the Numbers. I thought you might find it interesting that 95% of companies in the S&P 500, that's 476 firms, have underfunded pensions. That comes from Bloomberg. It's crazy. And actually, if you go back and listen to last week's show, we were talking more about the public sector, which would include people here in the state, but the private sector is underfunded as well. The public sector is severely underfunded nationally. I think I reported last week that Illinois only had 11% of the money they needed to pay the obligations they've already promised. Are you kidding me? At least here in the state of Indiana, we're closer to 80% of the money. And they know they'll continue to change things, ratchet things to make that a fully funded pension, I'm sure, at some point. And Wayne, I think that's where I want to start. When you work for the state of Indiana and you're part of the NPERF system, which there used to be two different ones, PERF and the Indiana State Teachers Retirement, and wisely they joined them together. I know some people didn't think it was a good idea, but why have two of this when you can have just one of this? It reduces cost. It makes total sense. The benefits worked identically to each other. But there are, first of all, there's two parts to their retirement.
Two parts.
There's a pension, which is going to give them an income when they retire that they cannot outlive, and they also have spousal options to include. And then there's something called an annuity savings account, which is a cash value in addition to their pension that they can either turn that over to the state whenever they retire and get more monthly income, or they can leave it there, or they can roll it into an IRA, an individual retirement account, and do with it whatever they want. Wayne, how many times do you walk into a situation where they look at their annual statement they receive and they think that money that's in the annuity savings account, that's it. That is my retirement, and don't even know they have a pension.
Almost every time, but you hit on a couple things. First of all, as a state of Indiana employee, you no longer get statements. So they are really making an effort. Well, I don't even know if it's an effort, but to get any information, you have to call or go online. Now, most people don't even know how to go online. So that is www.in.gov/INPRS. That's how you get online. If you don't know your username and password, you have to call the state and request it. You can't email them, you know, forgot password or anything like that. You have to call them.
Also very convenient.
888-286-3544. Give them a buzz. Request them to send you your username and passcode.
And if you're out there and you didn't write that down, it's hard to remember. He said it quick. You can always email us again, cfci.us. It's easy to remember. And just go to the Contact Us section, and we will get back with you all the information that you need to get online and get what you need from that important website. It's where you're going to get all the information. So, Wayne, the way that calculate, when is a person actually eligible to retire?
Yeah, eligibility is going to happen either at age 55 to 59 with about 30 years of service, or over the age of 60 with at least 15 years of service, or over the age of 65 with 10 years of service.
So your age and your years of service have to add up to at least 85, right?
That's 80, if you're under 60, or your age and years of service have to add up to 75 if you're over the age of 60.
So when you sit down with someone, and we talk about this a lot, how to do a retirement income plan, we always take a bottoms-up approach. What is your take-home pay? How much of that take-home pay do you want to replace? And this is regardless of whether you're a state employee or you work, you know, at GE or Cook or IU or Bloomington Hospital, no matter where you work. And, you know, there's a lot of other factors. But then we say, okay, let's add in taxes. Federal and state tax, that's it. You don't pay FICA. You're not paying Medicare. You're not putting money away in your 401k or paying union dues any longer. And then, Wayne, you say, okay, what kind of income sources am I going to have? Well, you run the pension analysis, and we look at the average of the last 5 years. We multiply that by 1.1% times your years of service. That gives you your top-level pension benefit. We take that off. That's coming in guaranteed. Then we say, okay, we have Social Security. That's next. And whether you take it now or you delay it, and we're going to get into that a little bit later, you take that off. And then, Wayne, I'm always surprised how little is actually usually required from their personal investments to make up the difference. And I think a lot of people that go through this exercise are as well.
Well, it's great. I met with somebody today from the Monroe County government, and I'll just give you a live example here. Their gross income was $62,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is before taxes, before contributions to a 457 plan. You know, their take-home pay was about $3,000 a month. After calculating, now this person's going to have 38 years of service in, well, which is a pretty substantial number. The pension ended up being about $1,850 a month, mm-hmm, after taxes. The Social Security is $1,350 a month after taxes. Just do the math right there.
We're over $3,000.
We're over $3,000 a month for life just from those two sources. And, you know, we've saved up a few $100,000, so we've got another income stream if we want it, or maybe that's the medical, you know, we're going to pay for some medical expenses or just have some fun. You know, that's why we're saving our money.
Sure.
We want to do some things in retirement.
Well, so that allows you to take that annuity savings account, roll it into an IRA, maybe combine it with your 403B and your 401A. Because if you do work for a municipality like that or a school system, you have two parts to your plan. The 403B is what you contribute. The 401A is what they contribute. But at the end of the day, it all ends up in the same place, typically an IRA. And that can be invested for a lot of reasons. It can be invested for future inflation increases to your income that are needed. It could be legacy money. And again, when I say legacy, folks, you've heard me say it. I'm talking about the loss of the first spouse. That's the first legacy. You always lose at least one check. And if you're working for the state, you're going to lose your one Social Security check if you're married, and you're going to lose either all or a portion of the pension check. So that money is there for the surviving spouse.
And David, just one thing to point out here, you know, the gross income for this person was $62,000.
Yeah.
The gross income in retirement from Social Security and pension is going to be about $44,000.
But the take-home was
the
same.
But the take-home is actually a little bit more
retirement
because you're not paying into Medicare, paying those taxes and things like that, and you're not putting money away in the 457 or 403Bs anymore.
Anyone listening to the show, anyone that would like a free benefit analysis, please give us a call. We do it as a paid firm to Monroe County Schools, Franklin Schools, many others. But if you're a state employee, these guys honestly can do it in their sleep. So we would encourage, not that we want to get paid any less, folks. But so if you're listening from the administration of Monroe County Schools, you know, it's been a learning curve, right? We've done it for 8 years. It's kind of hard in the beginning. Now it's gotten easier. It's the way it should be. We want to offer that to you. We want to help you look at your benefits to see what it is you'll have coming in when you retire. When can you retire? How you coordinate that with your Social Security? How you coordinate that with your spouse if you're married? All kinds of great things. I mean, one thing, Wayne, that people don't know is that you don't have to put a spouse on as the beneficiary on a pension. We had one person that actually put their adult daughter, and whenever mom passes away, the daughter's actually going to receive a pension for her entire life. That's something that never gets talked about.
We have folks put kids on all the time. Now, there is a slight additional reduction
for
the
younger
child, but it's usually not as much as you might think it is. So that pension's going to carry on. It's going to live a long life, that pension.
I think, I mean, those are the kind of things that if you call up the
the place in Indianapolis, and you have to try to set an appointment. It takes months to get up there. You know, they're not really walking you through your life, you know, what it is that makes up the dynamics of your family. And that's what you guys just do such a good job of. And you do the applications for people here in Bloomington online. You've done hundreds of them. And then we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Social Security, because coordinating Social Security with these other retirement benefits, whether you're a state employee or not, this is for everybody, is very, very critical. For most people, it makes up a significant part of their retirement income, Social Security. So making the right election at the right time is oh so critical. So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about Social Security. Later on in the show, we're going to talk about going Roth. How do you actually take all this taxable money that you've been accumulating over the years and turn it into tax-free money down the road? We're going to talk about all kinds of good stuff. If we have time, this is Your Money. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Your Money with David Hayes. Thanks for hanging out with us. If you miss any of the show, you can always catch it on Saturday mornings, 9 a.m., WGCLradio.com. And Alex and the clan here at the station are doing a great job of keeping it posted on iTunes and Google Play Music. So subscribe to that, or just go and search for Your Money with David Hayes, and my ugly mug pops right up. Wayne, you took that picture of me right here in studio to go on iTunes. We need to make a better picture. It looks like my shirt's half undone, my hair's all messed up, and my eyes are bloodshot.
It was the end of the night, it gets late, and you stood along the fancy wall over there.
Right, that carpeted wall here. So we're going to get a new picture, one that looks much classier.
Let's get one.
And would make people think that, man, that guy actually is worth listening to. Because if you see the picture, I'm not so sure. But anyway.
It's the way we do things, like buying perfume on Amazon. Did you not want to smell the perfume first?
I already knew what she wanted.
Okay.
Yeah, she ran out. She wanted it. And I looked at the bottle, and I got online, and I ordered exactly what she wanted.
There we go.
And it was $183 for perfume. Is that normal?
I have no idea.
I have no idea either.
I've never bought perfume.
But here's the other thing. If you ask me, hey, Hayes, how much does I don't even know what you call it, a carton of toilet paper cost? I don't even know what you call it, a box of toilet paper. I wouldn't know that either. I don't know what a gallon of milk costs.
Don't get me started. I know.
And I'm just saying, because my wife is so great. She does all of the
shopping.
Yeah,
she does all that.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
All I know is that it's probably way too expensive.
It's best left to, so I track every expense of my house. My wife hates it. So I know how much everything costs. But Heather, if you're listening, I'm sorry.
Well, you know what? You also do that curbside pickup thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because
that
actually reduces your overall bill
huge.
You're not buying, you know, just stuff that you walk by. We clean our pantry out probably once every 3 months of either half-eaten or not-eaten items.
That's what happens. You end up throwing out all that stuff. But this click list is one of the things we put into our Finance 101 when we talk to young people about ways to save money. So we talk about ordering groceries online. When you're not hungry, you drive up, you pick it up, and then that keeps you from throwing that extra 20, 30, 40, sometimes more.
Oh, man, I can't pass up chili cheese Fritos. When I'm down the chip aisle and I see the chili cheese Fritos and I'm hungry, a sack's going in my cart, period. Yep. But I got to stay away from that. Speaking of these educational events, you do a workshop along with Josh in our office, Medicare and Social Security workshop.
Yes.
It is, the third Tuesday of every month. It's on our website, cfci.us. You can go to events. Had a good one. And sometimes it's a small group. I mean, you've had as many as like 4 to 6, and we've had as many as 20 to 30 there.
Every other month, it mixes up. This is what Josh and I determined. One month we'll have 30, the next month we have 5. The next month we have 25, the next month we have 3.
Yeah, you never know. But you consistently do these, and people are digging it. They're loving it because they're getting information they just can't get in advice anywhere else. Let's take a minute and talk about Social Security.
Okay.
We obviously rely on it heavily, and people that are approaching retirement definitely rely on it. I think people that are in their 30s and 40s are maybe questioning whether it will be there for them or not. I always joke about the little tidbit in the USA Today a few years ago that I read on an airplane that said, you know, how many of you in this age bracket of 35 to 45 believe that aliens exist? And like, I don't know, 60 or 70% of people said they exist. And then the next question was, how many of you believe Social Security will be there for you in the form it's now? And it's like 20%. So more people believe in that age bracket in aliens than they do in Social Security.
David, this thing was doomed right from the get-go. The very first recipient, Ida Mae Fuller, paid in $24.75. Okay, now she received check number one from Social Security. She ended up living to age 100 and collected almost $23,000 out of the system.
Well, and when it was first created, the math worked really well. And then we had a bunch of babies, and the babies, you know, started to fill in, the baby boomers, and it still looked fantastic on paper. But the problem was the baby boomers didn't have enough kids. It is a pay-as-you-go system. So we had this real top-heavy system, and that's why by the year, I think they're saying now 2036 or something. 33, that if nothing changes, the Social Security Trust Fund will be exhausted, and only 77 cents of every dollar promised will be paid. I can assure you folks that that will not happen. They're going to figure out ways to shore up the system and make it right. It's certainly not on the agenda currently, but I'm confident it will be at some point down the road. Let's talk about eligibility. Social Security is still 62, but for most people, probably not a great idea to take it at 62 in today's world if you can afford not to.
Right. Let's just kind of, we'll quickly go over the longer you wait to take it, the higher your check's going to be each month for the rest of your life. So if you're someone out there that's still working, got a few years left in you, and you're thinking, well, I'm just going to retire and take Social Security, longevity is prevalent in our mm-hmm. society. We are living longer, no doubt. And so if you want to tighten up that income for those years when you're going to be 80, 85, 90, and beyond, it is almost a good idea. Work those extra few years or come up with a strategy to delay taking that Social Security. It's a guaranteed almost 8% pay raise every year you wait to take it from 62 all the way up to age 70.
And we had my dad on last week, and he talked about his age 70 benefit going from a spousal benefit to his benefit and how big that was and what it's going to mean to he and Jeannie. And that now that becomes the family benefit. If he dies, Jeannie steps up to that one. That's a big benefit. 85% of it's taxable, not 100%, not taxed at the state level. It's a pretty cool thing to be able to delay it. Now, you either have to work like Dad did, or you're going to have to fill in the bucket of money needed to get you there. But kind of backing up, most people retiring today, it's 66 and some change is when their full retirement age is. One of the things that I think we have to get across to people is don't just claim it when you're eligible, but have a thoughtful conversation with people like you that can help them make a good, wise decision. Because once you pull the trigger, you can change your mind within the first year, but most people don't. And it's a big decision because it's going to stick with you your whole life.
Well, here's the deal. You know, most of our audience, our clients, their parents, when they became Social Security eligible, it was common. You just went down there, applied for it. That's what you did. I'm going to tell everyone out there, the easiest thing I can tell you is if you're married, if you've ever been married, if you're widowed, if you have kids under the age of 18 and you're Social Security eligible, there are all these different factors. If any of those pertain to you, talk to somebody. There may be a claiming strategy that you may be eligible for before you just go down and take your own benefit, you know, at whatever age you are.
Yeah, because we had all the file and suspend and restrict and all that mostly went away for most people, but not for everybody. I mean, if you're a widowed, it's still available. Mm-hmm. Divorce, we talked about some opportunities there. But Wayne, also, if you were born, if you were age 62.
If you were age 62 before 2016, there are still some really good strategies open to you.
Exactly. So I want people to know that there's a small window of opportunity for some people to take advantage of those old claiming strategies, which was similar to what my dad did. My stepmother, Jeannie, filed. She received a benefit. Dad filed on her record, received 50% of what her full benefit would have been because he was full retirement age. So they collected, together almost, $1,800 a month, maybe more. And then Dad flipped over to his monster benefit at 70. That's still available for people that are in that certain age bracket. So once again, if you want to talk to someone who can help you coordinate these things, give us a shout at cfci.us. We'll help you out. Or certainly attend the Medicare and Social Security workshops the third Tuesday of every month. It's on our website. You can register there, which is kind of cool because then you can get a reminder email. Speaking of that, we're also going to have a town hall meeting. And it's called Leaving a Legacy, and it's talking about income for you now and a gift for future generations. How will you be remembered by your grandchildren and great-grandchildren? What's most important to you about your legacy? Is it account values or family values? This is a real big move in the industry, a big move in my world of pushing people to think about this. You know, the children of the Depression thought about legacy and inheritance one way. The boomers think about it an entirely different way. Even people, Gen Xers like myself, think about it, I think, even differently than the prior two generations. But think about your legacy, leaving a legacy. It's going to show you how you can do some really cool things. We're going to have some great speakers, someone that's going to, he was a guest here on the show at one point, talk to you about how you can do this and what it meant to a family who actually did it. And I'm looking forward to having a great crowd. I think we already have 10 or 15 people signed up. We're going to make a real push to make it a gangbuster event. Right now, it's not on our website yet. We're having some compliance glitches, but it should be very, very soon. So again, if you get a chance, check us out and see if it's up. And if it is, you can register. Hey, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about going Roth. You know what I'm talking about. Roth IRAs, Roth 401ks, paying tax on the seed, not the harvest, all that good stuff. No RMDs. When we come back, we'll talk about moving taxable money to tax-free forever. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Your Money with David Hayes. All right, you know, we've made a deal with the United States government, all of us have, who have put money away into traditional tax-deductible IRAs, 401ks on a pre-tax basis, and they simply said this to us. We'll make you a deal. You don't have to pay any taxes on that money that you put in, but when you take it out, you're going to pay taxes at an unknown rate. How's that sound? And we all jumped on it with both feet. They're like, that was a great deal. Now, when you phrase it that way, Wayne, it sounds absolutely insane.
Absolutely does.
Like, why would I do that? We've been doing it for years. And at this point, many of you, you can't undo it. It's kind of like the old toothpaste out of the toothpaste
it's,
tube.
It's out, man.
You can't put it back in. What you can do going forward is do the right thing. You know, when we say, you know, when's the best time to plant a tree? You know, when's the best time to plant a tree?
20 years ago.
20 years ago. What's the second best time? Today. Yeah. And that's what we're talking about, doing some things today so that you're not going to be the guy who has all of your money wrapped up in taxable accounts and getting taxed at an unknown rate in the future. And in my opinion, it's going to be much higher than it is today, especially on people that have money and have money in accounts that have never been tapped. The other way I approach this is when you talk about putting money away tax-free, we're mostly talking about two vehicles. We're talking, well, maybe three, but one particular one is the Roth. The Roth 401k, the Roth IRA. And again, we live in a community where there's people that farm, right? And if you go a little further south or a little further north, you even run into more. And if you ran into a farmer and you said to him, hey, farmer, if you had the option of paying tax on that seed money that you put in the ground or the harvest that you're getting ready to take out of the ground, what would you do? Well, he would look at you and say, what are you talking about? I'd always pay tax on the seed. Why would I do that? Why would I pay tax on the harvest? That's what a Roth is. So we encourage people to put money into the Roth. You can do that through Roth conversions. You can do that through Roth contributions. If you make too much money, you may be able to do a backdoor Roth, which is making a non-deductible IRA contribution. Everyone can do that. And then immediately converting it to a Roth. Wayne, I had a situation come up today where I don't want to make it too complicated here on the radio, but at the end of the day, you can't have any other outside IRAs to do a backdoor Roth IRA because they look at all your IRAs as one IRA. So if I put $6,000 in and then converted it to a Roth and I had another $95,000 in traditional IRA, then only 1/20th, for the most part, about 1/20th is considered tax-free because I put the money in after tax, and then I convert it to Roth, right. No taxes, but they look at it as one. So what we did was we're rolling that IRA that they have into their company plan. So now it's no longer an IRA, it's now a 403B at IU. Now we can do backdoor Roths all day long. We can do Roth conversions as well. We could do IRA to Roth IRA, you pay the tax now to never pay it again. You don't have any RMDs, required minimum distributions, on Roth IRAs, and that's what you need to do. Now, what's the smart thing to do? It's to do some tax bracket planning. You know, if you're a married filing joint tax preparer or taxpayer, up to about $77,000 of taxable income. That's after your deductions and your personal exemptions. You're in the 15% tax bracket. So let's say that your taxable income was $65,000. You have $10,000 or $11,000 of more availability in your tax bracket to do a conversion and pay it at 15%. Why would you not do that? I know why you aren't doing it, because no one's telling you to do this stuff. But at the end of the day, Wayne, that's the kind of planning that people need to do to prepare for future tax rates going up.
If you have some means out there and you're not working with someone, and honestly, David Hayes is the best at this. If you're not working with someone.
I may not be the best, but I'm one of the most passionate people about
this. That's true. You
this.
Are passionate about it. If you're not working with somebody, you're leaving something on the table, and no one wants to do that.
Right. You know, I don't mean to beat this drum so hard you think I'm some, you know, kook conspiracy theorist. I'm just a mathematician. I know mathematics. I know math. And I'm not, I'm not like some...
With
some,
your shoes on or off?
Typically off. I need all my digits handy for me to count this stuff through. But, you know, it's pretty easy math to say that, hey, if it's... Gosh,
we've got calculators.
Someone's going to have to pay for this thing, and it's going to be people with money. It's going to be accounts that have never been taxed. It's just trillions and trillions of untapped resources out there for the federal government to get their hands on, and it's just fact. It's fact and math. So I'm just saying that regardless of your income level, regardless of where you're at in your life, if you don't start putting some kind of a tax-free plan together so that you move taxable dollars forever to tax-free forever, I just think you're going to get caught. As they used to say when I was little, with your britches down.
Yeah, you don't want to be that.
Yeah, my Southern Indiana hickness is now starting to roll out.
Especially not in retirement. Who wants to be caught with their britches down in retirement?
Nobody does. All right, Wayne, we've had a fun show. It's a great show. I appreciate you being here. We talked about the state benefits. We've talked about going Roth, talked about Social Security. But I want to encourage people to keep their eyes open for this. We have teamed up with Ivy Tech Community College, the Center for Lifelong Learning, and we have been doing the retirement readiness classes through their system for about 8 years. And it was one of these deals where, you know, we would send out syllabuses, they would put it in their book, and, you know, we'd get 20 to 25 people to attend the class. But these are people who... obviously are looking to be educated, that want to be engaged, and it kind of hit me one day, you know what, let's go to the people, let's go to where the people are. So our team talked with Ivy Tech, and we said, yeah, let's do it. So we've created a educational course for instance, the people at Cook Incorporated.
Yes.
That went over very well. In fact, they've asked us to be part of their financial wellness program. We're going to start that in October, and we've got a great, great first one for these folks. So if you're listening and you work at Cook, look for us to show up in October for the Lunch and Learn. It's going to blow your socks off.
We're going to be the good-looking four horsemen coming
in. Yeah, it's going to be great. We worked on it this week. We're really excited about it. But we have another course that will be coming out probably sometime October, November for federal employees. So if you work at Crane, if you work for the post office, Fish and Wildlife, the IRS, this is for you. We've developed another course, which the basis of the course is the same. You know, we're going to talk about determining the amount of money you need to retire, to create your own goals for a successful retirement, eliminating debt, improving cash flow, properly converting IRAs to Roth IRAs, all of that. We're going to talk about transferring the risk of potential financial losses before or during retirement, reduction or elimination of taxes, expenses, delays, and legal challenges with estate planning. That's the basis of it all. But then we have sections specific for federal employees for their benefit packages and how they work. State employees. So we have one way we're developing for state employees. So once it gets developed, we have it developed. Once we get the date, the time, and the location all hammered down with Ivy Tech, then we're going to start promoting this pretty heavily, and I think it's going to be very, very well received.
It's going to be well received. So, again, if you haven't been to our website,
it's going to cost like $15 to
come. Yeah, $15 to come to this. This is a 2-day class, or I think that we talked about just doing an all-day Saturday class if you can't make that Tuesday, Thursday, or whatever day we have it.
Right, and part of their tuition, which is a really great benefit, is that after they've completed the class, if they want to sit down with one of the instructors one-on-one to go through their own personal situation, they can. So everyone who attends this class over the last many, many years, eight years, come out of it and say, it was the best course I've been to. So we appreciate that. And again, if you've been to one of our classes at Ivy Tech, you know what I'm talking about. And we're looking forward to bringing this to the employees. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back, wrap up the big show. This is YOMO with David Hayes. All right, folks, welcome back. Your Money with David Hayes, just about 3 minutes left in today's program. Again, if you missed any of the show and you'd like to hear it again or any part of it, go to WGCLradio.com or, of course, catch the full replay on Saturday mornings, my favorite time, at 9 a.m. That's actually when I catch it sometimes. I, you know, get out and tool around on Saturday mornings and flip it on and just listen to a little bit of it. I don't usually listen to all of it. I'm too dadgum critical of myself. I say things the wrong way, and it's just words. It's not the content. It's how I put it all together. So,
well, and you lived it. You've been doing it for 14, 15 years now? How long
the radio
has it been?
Show, 15 yeah. years. My son's 16. I've been doing it since he was one, so I should be better at it by now than I am. But, yeah, we've got a good show next week. I actually thought it was this week, but I got it mixed up. Doug Hughes has been working on a show that he wanted to roll out, and he's going to be talking, discussing the new retirement using realistic expectations on your assumptions when planning for retirement, both on the return side and the expense side. And that's where he's really going to hit you between the eyes, because the statistics are now showing that people in retirement are spending sometimes around 120% more than what they thought 10 years into yes. retirement. And it's for a variety of reasons. But how do you prepare for that? We're going to talk all about that. But, Wayne, we know life happens, but having a very good plan, one that works, can help people stick to something.
I have never seen Doug more fired up about a show that he's going to present.
Any show that Doug has to do a lot of research on, I mean, statistics and research and human behavior and investor behavior, he's digging
it. That's his specialty. He is fired up about this
how
show.
How many emails and texts do you think we receive, maybe even in a night, from him?
Oh, handful on a slow night.
Yeah, I mean, we have a group of maybe 8 or 9, maybe 10 people on this text chain.
Yes.
And he'll send something out, and no one will respond because it's too much to think about.
It hurts his feelings.
It does hurt his feelings. But, Duggar, if you're listening, we don't want your feelings to be hurt.
We love
it's
you.
It's just there's too much content there to absorb at 9:30 at night on a Tuesday.
Yeah, our minds are done.
He'll say the next morning, he and I are in usually similar times in the morning, and he'll say, "Did you see that text I sent last night?" I go, "Yeah, I saw it." I said that, you know, and I go through, "Yeah, I read it this morning." It's usually something from Investment News or Bloomberg or US, I mean, just something. And he has usually some
obscure program on TV, channel 815.
Hey, that's why it works at our office, because we're all different and we all get jazzed up and motivated and excited about different things. Yeah, so Wayne, appreciate you being here. Again, next week we're going to be talking about what Doug's describing as the new retirement, using both realistic expectations on your assumptions when planning for retirement, both on the return side and the expense side. So, Wayne, thanks again for being part of it.
Thanks for having me.
We'll have you back probably in another month or two to get an update on how all these school visits have gone, some of the new stories you have to tell, and much, much more.
You know where to find me.
This has been Your Money, folks, with David Hayes. Goodbye.
The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.